Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Because I had to buy
a reader. When's the last time you had a checkup? You know, 6 months ago?
Now, you know that my lazy ass was at the pool the whole time we were on vacation, right, in the lake. So I would be laying there next to the pool trying to read a magazine, and I had to go get readers. I had to go buy cheap readers because I could not see what was in front of me. So it never actually...
Well, sorry about that. I was hoping for you.
So we'll figure out. Right now I have two contacts in, but my old ones.
So baby doesn't dig her eyeballs out.
I don't Wolverine my own eye. I'm Nikki Pace for the Johnny Dare Morning Show on 98.9 The Rock.
So sadly, you know, Craig Glazier passed last week. We were all out of town. I was out of the country. Everybody was gone, scattered to different points unknown. And Craig had been sick for a long time, man. He was... a goddamn character, without a doubt. He infuriating. We fought, and he was great laughs, and he was probably some of the best radio in all the history of this radio show. And sadly, dude, you know. And again, we were fighting pretty hard at the end. Like he was not very easy to get along with, but I wouldn't have wished it on him for sure. I mean, you know, leukemia, diabetes, it just sucks. It just sucks, and it's a terrible way to go. And I don't think he ever wanted to be remembered by that. That's why he wouldn't tell anybody. He told everybody he had pneumonia because he didn't want people to, you know, he was vain. He had a lotus. Somebody texted in early, goes, I don't like to think Craig's dead. I like to think he faked his own death for the insurance money. He's driving a new lotus somewhere in St. Louis. You know what? I like to think so, too.
It's possible.
But we all have a story. Like, I mean, I got the good stories, the bad stories, the ugly stories, the mean stories, the sad stories, the drug story. You name it. I have a story for the occasion with him. So does Craig Gass. So we got Gass on him, and Craig really wanted to come by and just, because listen, you know how Craig wanted nothing more. And I do this in spite of the fact he was suing me. Crazy bastard. Suing the whole station and named Laszlo and myself in it as well for, you know, some added comfort. And even in spite of that, I think, man, he was such a huge part of this show for a lot of years that he would love it if anybody would talk about him after he died.
I mean, I truly believe you're absolutely right.
Oh, I mean, God.
He loved you talking
if
about
you can
him.
Get a boner in hell. So grab gas. We're going to talk Glazier. Rest his soul, man. King Nothing, 65 degrees in Kansas City. It's Johnny Dare, Nikki Pace, T-Bone, Jake, Greg, and a voice that we haven't heard in so very long, a friend.
Born February 15th in Mount Vernon, New York, he launched his stand-up career in 1993, quickly making a name for himself with his dead-on impressions of Adam Sandler, Sam Kinison, Christopher Walken, Gene Simmons and more. He's appeared on such shows as Sex and the City, Law and Order, and The King of Queens. He'll be appearing on Chris Jericho's Rock and Wrestling Rager at Sea this October. You can keep up with him at getgas.com, and today he's here to remember the late Craig Glazier. Please welcome, longtime friend of the show, Craig Gass.
Oh, Mr. Gass, how have you been?
Brother, it's been too long, man. I'm making plans to get back to Kansas City. I have an idea that I'll talk to you about off the air, but it's been way too long. Just wait.
Yeah.
I was actually listening to you guys before I came on with you, and I just listened to the show. You guys make the joke about when you die that everyone's going to have to split up your black T-shirt. I was like, God, that was such an awesome ride. But Listen, I only have a short amount of time, so I got to jump right into this. Jake told me that I didn't know that Craig had passed, and he said, hey, you know, if you can call in and say a couple things. And I don't know why you guys wanted me to talk about him, but I know that a lot of people thought that Craig was this great, like, guitar virtuoso. I don't know much about that. All I know is that by the time he joined the band, they came out with that song, We Built This City on Rock and Roll. And I heard that. Man, that song is for...
You
is,
crazy,
I,
F.
You know, no disrespect, because I didn't know that Craig Chiquico had died.
No, no, no. Stanford's is dead. Craig, from the comedy club.
Oh, Craig Glazer. So Craig Chiquico is still alive?
No, Craig's dead, quite dead. I believe he's dead. Although somebody said they like to think that he's maybe faked his own death and took the insurance money. He's driving around a brand new Lotus somewhere in St. Louis with incredible hair.
Dude, can I just tell you that? I mean, we'll get into Craig because I did love Craig. You know, there's all these mixed feelings about Craig Glazer, but I wanted to listen to your show because I was really thinking about, like, man, what should I say about Glazer? Like, what tone should I take? And I thought, you know what? Let me just listen to Johnny's show and just kind of get a vibe for, you know, what I'm jumping into. I tune in, and this is, you guys are talking about swinger parties.
Oh, and, the worst. The worst.
And this is what I hear. It's like, dude, you could have fingered her in the Applebee's parking lot. Like, that's what I'm jumping into. Like, we're going to talk about Craig Glazer before I get on. You guys are like, you didn't even touch no titty.
Well, it's because the thing with Craig, and this is, you know, that we were involved. Like, he was busy suing the station and Intercom and Laszlo and myself. And it, you know, it was a meritless situation. Nobody was sweating it because it was all so silly. But, you know, even with that in front of you, I felt bad for him because he's just... He's like that friend you have that for some reason you stay friends no matter how weird it gets. And in the end, we weren't talking on the phone or anything, but, you know, certainly, yeah, what a terrible way to go. Leukemia and just, it's just sad. I wouldn't wish it on him for anything, man, you know. And we had a lot of ups and downs, but we had a lot of ups, a lot of great, ridiculous, unintentional, funny moments because, God dang, what a nightmare, chaotic train wreck he was.
Yeah, well, dude, it started with me. Day one, I'm on the road all the time. I'm in a different city every week, and I'm an old radio guy. I started doing morning radio, and I worked with Howard Stern for years. And so I like to get up in the morning and stay on the air all day. And when Craig booked me for the first time, and Stanford is a legendary club in comedy, because there was a time when there was only a handful of comedy clubs between New York and Los Angeles. So anybody who was anyone has gone through Stanford's. And I had heard that there was character who ran the club. And when I first met him, he drove me. There was two things I wanted to do. I wanted to perform at that club. And my friends Jim Florentine and Don Jameson had told me, you got to do the Johnny Dare show. And there's this legend of the Johnny Dare show, which, by the way, it was surprising to me how much crazier Craig was than his legend and how much less intimidating you were than your legend. Like, I expected you to be like a wild dude, and you were like so mellow and normal. And Craig brought me into your show and, told me how to do radio before we went in.
Oh yeah, he'd tell everyone how to do radio.
You know, here's some key talking points. I said, no, I got it. And we walked in. Craig walks in with me and gets on the mic and starts promoting himself during the appearance. It was like he didn't come on to help me promote the weekend shows. He came on the air to promote a book that he wanted to put out, and it had nothing to do with the show, though. It was one of the weirdest, most surreal experiences I had ever had. And it's funny, because when I look at his Facebook page, like, how often does somebody pass and all the tributes on their Facebook page start with, hey, man, love them or hate them.
Dude, I remember the time he told us that he'd paid for like 9 abortions. And in no way was he at all in any way embarrassed or concerned. They were his. He wasn't just handing out abortions. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Like, he literally, this ended up being
1 little, 2 little, 3 little abortions, 4 little, 5 little, 6 little abortions, 7 little, 8 little, 9 little abortions, aborted Craig Glazier's.
Yeah. It was a never-ending cavalcade of ridiculous with him. Just, or the time he told us he got a venereal disease in Jamaica from like a 13-year-old. Remember?
Oh, God, I do remember that.
Yes. I mean, Jesus. His words, not mine. I don't know if it was true or not. His words.
Didn't he walk around with papers, too? His medical papers?
What do you mean?
Like, I thought he'd walk around like, hey, I just got tested again.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he literally always had his papers on him.
Oh, yeah. He'd tell you. Well, the thing is, I learned about Craig early on, and I'm sure Craig, you don't do drugs. But I'm not against drugs, and I certainly wasn't 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. But he would immediately tell you who he was doing drugs with. And I thought to myself, self, maybe you don't do drugs with this guy. He seems to run his mouth a little bit. Mm-hmm. I mean, he told me about every quarterback he ever did blow with.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. He always wanted you to know the athletes that he was partying with,
yep,
who I'm sure did not want anyone to know that they were doing anything crazy. And he always was an old school guy in that he wanted to always tell you his stories about women that he's been with recently. Like, hey, man, you won't believe what I did with this girl and that girl. And he was just an old school guy. But it's kind of funny to me because, like, you know, how many tributes do you see that include a GoFundMe page to help all the people that a dead guy owed money to?
Come on. Oh, man.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny. But I mean, I look back and I smile because, some of the stories make me laugh. Like, there was one girl who posted on his page, and I was like, you know what? That's a crazy story. But that is a funny story, which is that there was a girl who said that she got a last-minute phone call from Craig saying, hey, you want to go to Maui this weekend? And he apparently was dating a girl who he caught stealing money from him. And he called the girl that he was dating who stole the money and said, listen, I am willing to not press charges against you as long as you give me your driver's license so I can take another girl with me to Hawaii that I was going to take you on, the trip that I was going to take you on. Just give me your license so that I can have somebody else pretend to be you. So the stories are legendary.
Oh.
His voice is legendary. I guess it's about as good a time as any to announce that there's a new character on the Johnny Dare show, mm-hmm, part of a new comedy team that is going to be a regular bit on your show. It's going to be Sam Kinison calling in live from hell with Craig Glazier.
Hey, guys, it's Sam Kinison. I'm down here in hell, and I'm hanging out with an old friend of yours. I want to say hi.
Hey, Johnny, just want you to know that just because I'm passed over here, the lawsuit is still going on. I'm showing you guys that. So when you get down here to hell, you're going to owe me $14 million when you get in. That's going to be your cover charge.
But now that you've passed away, you're not going to let that go, Craig?
I'm sorry. Well, you know what, Johnny? I mean, here's the thing, man. You guys have just been, I'll tell you what, I will drop the lawsuit as long as you mention my name on your show every day for the next 10 years. Just keep my name alive.
But none of the stuff that you said was true, though.
It doesn't matter, because, here's the thing is, the truth is not the truth. Just keep my name alive and you can mention all the herpes and syphilis and all the cocaine and everything. I don't care. As long as my name is mentioned, go ahead.
All right. Well, listen, take good care of Sam.
I will. And listen, just got to do a live read here. Do you have any STDs you need to get checked out? come down to the clinic. This is brought to you by Craig Glazer's STD clinic.
Jesus Christ. I was just going to tell Sam not to loan him any money.
Yeah. Dude, I'm looking forward to seeing you guys. And I'm genuinely sad to hear about the past.
Yeah, me too, man.
He was a hell of a character. I've never known a guy that every working comedian had a story about.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Some good, some bad.
Yeah. And it's a shame that he's gone. And it is definitely, it's definitely a big void that has been left, man. And I personally will miss the guy.
You know what? It'll sound crazy, but I will as well, man. As much trouble as we had over the years, and like good and the bad and the struggles and opening that ridiculous bar together, and then the goddamn train wreck that those cats were, just trying to deal with them was, you know, that just took years off your life. But I will miss it, man, because he was such a huge just ball of chaos. And every single Bob Saget came through town 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, and we were talking, and he goes, and this is, you know, obviously before Craig had passed, and he kept talking about he'll never forget. He played Stanford's. He cut his finger really bad in the kitchen at the place. They took him to the hospital and dropped him off, and no one ever came back to get him at the emergency room. And
really?
All these stitches in his hand, and he just had to go get on an airplane. He had to call a taxi cab. No one called to check on him. Nobody ever picked him. Nothing. And they didn't even walk him in. They just opened the door, and he got out. Just
really?
Swear to God, there's this never-ending stories like this that people are like, what is wrong with these people? It is, but it was, I remember... And God bless, remember his Grandpa Benny? I remember the story, and this is as Craig told me, that Grandpa Benny, and this, you know, because Craig and his brother, Jeff, sued their father, Stan. There was a huge lawsuit over who owned the comedy club in the 90s. Now, Grandpa Benny was still alive, and he was the benefactor, and he was an incredibly nice, old-school guy. At one point, Stan had borrowed money from Grandpa Benny, and then told him he didn't have to pay him back because he was bankrupt. And Benny went up the stairs, and I've heard this story from three or four people, with a pitchfork and was going to shove a pitchfork through Clark Stagg's father. You know, it was never ending.
I had to look this up because I read it when he first passed. I had to, I was Googling information. I started reading articles about Craig. And there is a line in one article that made me laugh so hard. I think this is the perfect way to end this segment. This writer wrote about Craig visiting your show. And they wrote, there's a paragraph that says, in the parking lot afterwards, discussing Johnny Dare and his show, Craig Glazer said, look, credit to Johnny. He is the most successful media personality in the history of the city. But is he a friend of mine? You know, would a friend say that he hopes that your movie never gets made? That line made me laugh so hard. Like, of all the things that you could say that hurt your feelings.
Right.
That you...
Right.
My friend said he hopes my movie never gets made.
Let me tell you, the most awkward thing was, part of this lawsuit, I'll just tell you one part. I'm not even sure how much we're supposed to talk about it. But in one of the places, so this lawyer that we got, you know, of course, then you got to go through deposition and all the business. Well, let me find this here. It's going to take a second because I had to run and read it correctly. Here it is. Defendant Kepper Foley has habitually broadcast a false story involving money owed to him personally by the plaintiff and has repeatedly stated that when the plaintiff, Craig Glazer, passes away, he would dig up the coffin to harvest plaintiff Craig Glazer's gold teeth. That's you know how awkward that is? You know, because I thought he was going to live forever, right? Like, then I'm like, oh, man, that really does make that sound. And so the lawyer goes, did you say that? And I go, yeah. Yeah. And I go, why? Is that actionable? And he goes, no, I just wanted to know if somebody actually said that. And then in the end, the irony that I was out of the country when he passed, I'm like, you to the end, he outsmarted me. To the end. He waited till I was out of town and then he just went ahead and did it.
You know what? I do remember after that first trip of coming to Kansas City, there was this, you know, good experiences and bad experiences. And, you know, I reached out to a comedian friend of mine and said, hey, man, I had this weird experience with this guy, Craig Glazier, and I want to tell you what happened. And I you know, rattled off these issues that I had. And my friend, I said, have you ever had this experience? And my buddy said, I haven't personally, but I can tell you that there is a phrase that I've heard in the business, which is, you just got glazered.
You know how much he would love that? You know, it doesn't matter. You know, one time I showed him the definition of sociopath. This is absolutely true. I read it, the 5 points of like basic points of sociopath. When he got to the fifth one, I've never seen him smile so big. He had a definition, and he in no way, he was like, that's right, that's, think about that. I was just like, Jesus Christ, that was not a compliment, Craig. But he, you know, he was never ending in this stuff, man. I can tell you so many insane. One time, did he ever try to get you laid while you were here, by the way, Craig?
No, I actually quickly started kind of distancing myself from the guy. I would come in and just, I'd want to work. In fact, I didn't even want him to drive me to media appearances. I would just say, man, let me get, so no, I never got at, he never tried to hook me up with girls. Why?
When I went to the bar with him, I walk in one night and I'm talking to Eric, the bartender, and he goes, Johnny, come over here. I want you to meet this girl. And I go, and I look at him, and she looks awful. Her skin is sallow and she's got poor act, you know, and she's clearly nodding off, her pupils are all blown out, and I'm like, oh my god, all she's missing are the track marks, and he puts her down next to me all of a sudden, and I'm looking at him, I'm going, no man, no, and she looks at me all ganky and she's like, how much money do you make? All I could do was push her out of the booth with my foot, just like thinking, god, don't get any fluid on me. It was never ending, man. His libido, new. Well, you remember, were you around for Chocolate Becky, his girlfriend?
No, but I read a lot about her after he passed. So, that there's this legend.
Oh, he used to send me every single voicemail she ever left him. Ever. Like, she hated him so much, and she always wanted money. Well, like, I'll pay you just a couple, man. Like, this is how hateful it could get.
You or your f***ing money is no good for anybody in the world. Why don't you just jump off a cliff and die, bitch? I'll go your way to rob you out of a car crash and get tangled up inside that little car and die, you bitch. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. Oh. Oh, no. It just gets better all the time.
Honey, I know you see me calling. You answer the f***ing phone. Can you please answer the phone? This is my only chance to talk to you. I'm at work and I'm on my break. The car people have been calling me since Saturday. I told you that the payment was due Saturday. They've been calling me all week. They said that they are tired of the payments coming in late and they are ready to start taking action. So therefore, I don't know if by the time I get off work, if they're going to come pick the car up or what. So you need to answer the phone and talk to me or call them to find out what's going on. Can you please answer the phone? This is my only.
And then he wouldn't call her, and she would get super pissed off. Like, she would.
Did you want to turn your goddamn phone out, pussy, and act funny over a motherfucking phone that you found that you probably don't even have no more? It's not even in your goddamn custody. That's why you keep playing games about it. But you know what, bitch? You and Jeff, Jack, whoever, can keep the phone and shove it up your tight ass, you cheap bitch. Don't ever call me again, pussy, and kiss your warm statement goodbye, you cheap bitch.
Just
the voicemails that only a stable person would receive.
Oh, well, let me.
Wow. Stop calling and texting my motherfucking phone, you stupid ass jerk. I don't give a fuck about how much money you had to pay, you cheap ass bastard. That's all you worried about is the money. This bitch just made up a whole goddamn story about me with 5 to 6 charges pending. They could have determined my motherfucking life, you stupid, sick bastard. You need to go get help, you sick animal. Instead of those goddamn drugs, you fucking cokehead. You are the one that wants to have a threesome with that fat bitch. My motherfucking money came up missing, bitch. Not yours. So Becky don't give a fuck about what you had to pay. You always selfish, bitch.
You.
Listen, I think it's pretty clear from this evidence that Craig was a real romantic.
He really was. And then my favorite, like, you're going to love this. She, because, you know, obviously she had a crazy temper. And then she tried to kind of smooth it over, but she couldn't get all the way through the message without kicking him in the balls once. Like,
hey, honey, it's me. I know you see me calling. I understand you're upset with me, and I really don't understand why. The only reason why I said those mean things is because I was frustrated, and you haven't been answering the phone all week or all weekend for me, and I don't understand why, and all I've ever tried to do was help you through anything that you was going through or through anything that happened, so I don't know what the hell you're talking about, but I was just wanting to know if I can come over and hang out. You know, I don't get paid until tomorrow. I'm hungry, and I don't have anything to eat. You could just be a little more considerate instead of sitting up crying and bitching and acting like a female. I don't know what the hell is wrong with you.
She almost did it. She was so great. Oh, and I'll tell you, the last one I'll play for you is the one that it just exploded into parody after parody after parody.
This is exactly why I always leave and go home and never spend a night with you. So now never in your life, ask me again, you stupid little dick bitch. Burn in hell. I hate you. You are a selfish ass bastard. F*** you.
Little dick bitch became the song. Like, God. And he in no way he loved those things. Loved them. He couldn't wait to send them to me. Because he knew funny was funny and crazy was crazy, man. That's the thing you always got to give him. He knew what funny was, man.
You know, and that's the thing that I felt like there was a lot of self-awareness there, and he knew what kind of a character he was, and he liked playing up the character. But there was also a lot of ego involved. And,
yeah, sure.
I love the article that I read about him that said that he was upset that it's such a really stupid line. It's so silly. But Craig's feelings were hurt when you called him a giant herpy.
It was the craziest thing, because then he was, imagine we're in that lawsuit. He's like, and, you know, the plaintiff says that, you know, or that says that Johnny Dare would call him a racist. I was like, well, I don't know if you've heard this lawyer for him. Do you think he's a racist?
No, not really. Probably so, though. I don't know. He says weird things sometimes when we have sex. Did you call him a
I'm going to let it roll, because it was her. It's her.
Yeah, so she calls us the only way he could finish.
Wow. Oh, my God. Man. You know, it's crazy. It's, you know, Craig wasn't the only character in the building. You know, his brothers were total sure. characters. And it's and the real pain and the sadness that I feel is knowing that all of them in such a short amount of time are gone.
And Jack was like the sweetest man. The poor guy didn't get the brains out of the crew. You know what I mean? He was by far the sweetest. And I was really sad when he passed. Jeff was just, he was just the sidebar. You know, Jeff was the one that always gave you the news, right? Craig, you'd be like, listen, I'm not going to be able to do what we talked about, but here's some nachos.
Yeah, they were all characters, man, and they are going to be missed. And I obviously thought of you when it happened. I texted you as soon as I saw the news. And yeah, man, and it's rest in peace, Craig. I, you were a crazy guy, and you will be missed. And it's kind of a bummer that you know, we can always look back and hear these stories like this stuff that I'm hearing right now. I've never heard those tapes before, but the stories will live on in legend.
Oh, and you know what? I mean, the book, The King of Sting, man, he never let the truth get in the way of a great story. The book is incredible. Oh, we used to torture him because, you know, he was an informant. And then, you know, in my world, we call him a snitch. And he'd be like, I wasn't a snitch. I was a deputy. I'm like, hold on. Were you a criminal and you got caught and then you agreed to turn other guys in? Yeah? I go, snitch. And he'd be like, oh, we're going to fight. We're going to fight. Just, he gets so pissed off. I'm like, look, informant, snitch, rat, whatever.
I don't know what the story was. I can't remember, but I remember early on hearing that there was a story where Louis Anderson was scared of him. Like, do you know what that story was? Like, he intimidated Louis, and Louis never came back to the club again?
I know Gallagher punched him. Little, skinny, really? Crazy Gallagher punched him.
Wow.
Yeah.
Gallagher, not Gallagher 2. Gallagher.
Gallagher. And, you know, Gallagher is about a buck 20, and he's old, and he is a mean old cuss. I mean, he really is. Like, I get it. Like, you had to give him the look, like, look, Gallagher, we can either have the conversation on the air where I show you that I love you and that you're an important part of comedy, or we have the conversation where I spend the next 30 minutes talking about the Sledge-O-Matic. Which one do you want, you creepy old goblin? And and so he'd always be cool with me, but it was just amazing. Hold on, I'm going to do it to you one more time and have you listen to this. This is Craig, and of course, here's the part you'll love the most. He immediately says, don't air this. Knowing that what Craig wants more than anything is for me to play it on the air. Like, it's just, he's fantastic, but he tells the story. Like,
Johnny, oh my God. Now, I was about to tell you, do not play this on the radio like you did the DJ thing. I'm just telling you this. Gallagher, you know, I've been doing this for 30 years, most of the 30 of them when I was in Hollywood. The most insane lunatic jerk off I've ever met. I don't even know where to begin. I could write a book on his insanity. Listen to this. After I left you guys, we did NBC TV. I was explaining how I wanted him to do TV. I couldn't have been nicer. Bought him breakfast. You know, gave him my book, signed it, which he could have given two jacks about, and just kind of threw it in the back seat, which that's fine. He goes, why'd you write to me? I'm your friend. I'm not your friend. I just met you. I went, okay. You know, I thanked him for doing the club and the book. I didn't know what to do with him. And I was explaining it to him in the car. He turned around and slugged me. And he was serious. I pulled over and went, are you, you know, he's a little guy. I went, are you out of your mind? He goes, don't tell me how to run my life. I'm a trained professional. I know how to do media. Quit running my life. I'm not your prop. I went, you're out of your, I didn't know what to do with him. You know, if you smushed him, you know, I mean, the show was almost sold out. I went, God, what do I do with this crazy person? I had to spend all day with him. I went, I can't take it. I mean, when we ate, he just sat and stared at me through the whole meal. He's the most insane person. You know, I've had a lot of crazies like Arsenio, and who else was in that phase on love? You know, I almost beat Arsenio's ass for not trying. Anyway, John, listen to this. So I'm trying to stay calm. I go, Jeff and Jack, you handle him. Sold out show. Everybody's wearing their trash bags. Jeff gets up, goes, he won't let anyone home for him. Jeff goes, ladies and gentlemen, Gallagher, the legend. Everybody's applauding. He doesn't go to the stage. He's out smoking a cigarette. We run and get him. We corner him. I thought he was leaving. What are you doing? He goes, well, I'm not going to the stage until all the drinks are out. I go, Gallagher, they serve drinks during the whole show. And he goes, we'll just have to wait 20 minutes. I mean, we're still, I mean, Jack, we circle him. Jack goes, here's the deal. Either go to the stage or see around the second floor. And he went, yes. He goes, or end up down there. He goes, we want to get the on the stage. People are waiting. You've been making them wait 20 minutes, you jerk. We marched him. Then when he got on the stage, his show was brilliant. He's like only sane on stage. Off the stage, he was wearing pajamas after the show. I didn't know where we were going. I went, dude, I'm going home. You and I aren't going anywhere. I went, you're crazy, man. And that was it. That's why, I mean, he did 100 other things. He's out of his mind. I went, Jesus. And you're the only show he was even normal on. The other ones, he wouldn't even talk to him hardly. All right, do not play this on the radio, I'm just telling you, but he's going to definitely be in my next book. He's going to get a whole chapter in Comedy Confidential called Out of His Mind. Bye.
How good is
that?
Can
I tell you how funny it is to hear Craig say, as an example of his, I couldn't have been nicer to him. His example is, I couldn't have been nicer to him. I gave him my book, and I even autographed it. I gave him a book he never asked for, and then I signed it for him. I couldn't have been nicer. That is hilarious.
Yes. It is sad, man, and it is all kind of sinking in because with Greg, again, it was always one of those on off again relationships. Like, he was so good at radio, and he was really good at knowing what comedy was about. It's just everything else was a torture, and it's sad, man. He'll never be a part of it again. It's too early to go.
Yeah, man. I mean, you said it a few times. I wouldn't wish that on anybody.
No.
What he went through. And I kind of feel like he also, died with a broken heart having lost Jeff. It was sad. But, man, I get such a kick out of his faithful face.
What do you think made him sadder? Do you think he's sad losing Jeff or not seeing his movie get made?
Absolutely, everything was about his movie.
Yeah,
everything
was
about his movie. Yeah, because at the end of the day, it was definitely all about Craig. And there were some sweet stories that were mixed in the bunch on his Facebook page. And I can summarize it like perfectly as this: I don't have any desire to work with the guy again, but I enjoyed hearing his stories.
That's exactly right.
There's people that if you have to deal with them, it can be frustrating, but you can appreciate them from a distance, and that's what Craig was like.
I think that's exactly right. It was like watching a gorilla fling poo on somebody else.
Yeah. I mean, if you're listening to this and finding the stories entertaining, that's exactly the spot you should be at. It's working with him that could be a different set of circumstances, but I will miss him. I will absolutely miss him. And across comedy, I'm telling you, he is a legend
in
the comedy business.
Absolutely.
Everyone in comedy has a story about Craig. And I'm grateful that I got to get my own stories, but I am sad that he's gone. And it's the tragedy that all three of those brothers are gone within a couple of years is just crazy, man. But I am looking forward to seeing you guys again. It has been way too long. We're going to figure it out. I have a perfect idea for it. I'll talk to you about it off the air.
Yeah, let's do that. And I mean, the improv. I'm tired of screwing with these guys. We'll guarantee every show will sell out, man. You need to do a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or at least a Friday, Saturday, and get you in here and just reacquaint a bunch of people with how incredibly talented you are, man. Because you've been busy. And by the way, do you live anywhere, Craig? This is the thing. Out of all the years I've known you, I only know you to be on the road at all times. If you're not doing comedy, you're hanging with Metallica. If you're not with Metallica, you're with another band. But it's always, every day, on the road.
I book all my shows around the United States, around baseball games, football games, and concerts, so that I can go to every stadium. I want to visit every baseball stadium in Major League Baseball, every stadium in the NFL, and I want to see as many concerts as humanly possible. I was just in Chicago last week to see a friend of mine plays guitar for Pearl Jam, and He actually, Mike McCready makes an appearance on my comedy special that I filmed a couple years ago called The Worst Comedy Show Ever. If you want to see a really cool video, I was with Mike two nights ago at Wrigley Field, and he let me just film on stage with him.
Crazy.
Videos. And there's, it's really, really crazy. I'm always on the road. The response to that question is, I have a home in Los Angeles. I'm just never home, and I'm always out having fun, which actually is the idea that I have. There's a show coming to Kansas City that I thought, oh man, those guys are friends of mine. I should just get Johnny. We'll hang out with that band, and then we'll do a show that weekend. But I did just text Jeff over at the Improv yesterday, and he's been saying for a while that he wants to give me a date to come out, so he's going to figure out when.
Yeah, let's talk about that, figure it out. And there's so much stuff to share with you guys. Like, if you happen to be a listener and you don't know the whole Craig Gastro, there's more rock and roll and more funny, bizarre situations. Have you ever seen anybody's 18-year-old birthday party picture in the kitchen? And then he points out, as you realize, that's Slash, that's Duff, and that's Axl Rose prior to being huge. Like, just on the cusp of Appetite for Destruction, it goes on and on and on. Metallica's like, hey, Well, Lulz, by the way, it's the greatest Lars Ulrich impersonation in the history of Lars. When Lars asks you, Lars, are you there, Lars?
Dude, all you have to do is you just have to just make sure to sniff a lot. Huh?
Every time I talk to Clint from Seven Dust, it's always the same. The story of Lars when he took Seven Dust out is legendary. Legendary.
Wait, which one are we talking about? What's the story?
He hated having his face touched.
Oh, dude. Okay, I was just in Atlanta 2 weeks ago, and his drummer came out to the show out in Atlanta. Morgan. And can I tell the story?
Sure. I'd love you to.
All right. So it's New Year's Eve, 99 going into 2000. Metallica is performing at the Pontiac Silverdome, where the Detroit Lions used to play. And the bill for this concert of the millennium is Metallica, Ted Nugent, and this new band called Seven Dust. And Morgan told me the story as Clint, who's a friend of mine now, he said there's a couple things you need to know about Clint at that time in his life. Clint did not like people touching his face. He's got a weird thing about people touching his face. He also has a sensitivity to any jokes about his Indian heritage. He's part Cherokee, I believe.
Yep. Yes.
Which I didn't know. And also, at the time, Clint was struggling with staying sober. So those are three things you need to know about Clint at that time, is that he doesn't like anybody touching his face, he's struggling to stay sober, and he doesn't like any jokes about his Indian heritage. He's part Cherokee. Lars Ulrich walks into the dressing room for Seven Dust to say hello. Nobody's in the room except for Clint, and Lars walks up and with his hand smacks his face and goes, "Hey, where's the blow, chief?"
Jesus.
And Clint jumped up and said, "Get the hell out of here." What is up with the new guy? Why is he so sensitive? Oh, jeez. I'm just trying to fight some blow. Huh? Yeah. Oh, jeez. Yeah, that is a rough one.
Oh, it's the greatest.
There's so many more rock stories, man. There's so many more. Oh, man, I've got so much to share with you guys. And more than that, I just want to come up and have a barbecue and just hang out with you. But, hey, man, if you want to see a really cool video, I posted that video of Pearl Jam on stage playing Bob O'Reilly at Wrigley 2 nights ago. Just share it on your page, but it's on my Facebook page.
I will, dude. Listen, we're going to get a date together, and I got to share with you Disgraceland. So I bought some land not far from my house. So we're going to have the goddamnest barbecue you've ever seen. It's got a pond, 30 acres. We got flamethrowers. Oh, we're going to do it all.
Dude, I keep seeing videos and stuff that you post, and I'm like, what the hell is Johnny doing with his money, man? He just, like, put together a theme park.
Yeah, no, it's gotten weird. It's super weird out there. You will have full appreciation of it. You will enjoy this.
Well, as long as we have some hot dogs and burgers while we do it, I'm all in.
Absolutely, man. All right, brother. I love you. I can't wait to see you, Craig. And we'll talk today about what you got an idea for.
You're a funny man. I miss you guys. I will see you soon. I love you, too.
Love you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.